Ladies and gentlemen, good day. Welcome to the SP Apparel Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities. As a reminder, all the participants' line will be listen mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask a question after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now, I hand the conference over to Mr. Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mansa. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, I would like to welcome you all to Q3 FY26 post-result conference and business update call of SP Apparel Limited. Today, we have with us the senior management of the company, including Mr. P. Sundararajan, Chairman and Managing Director, Mrs. S. Lata, Executive Director, Mrs. S. Shanta, Joint Managing Director, Mr. S. Chandran, Joint Managing Director, Mrs. P. V. Jiva, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. V. Balaji, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to the management for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. See, I'm P. Sundararajan, Chairman and Managing Director of SP Apparel Limited. Thank you for joining SP Apparel Investors Call. I'm pleased to share our business update, the evolving trade environment, customer traction across key markets, and our priorities as we enter the next phase of growth. This has been a steady quarter for us, and I'm happy to share that our operations across all verticals have continued to perform well. Even though Q3 was soft for the sector, we managed the quarter efficiently. The industry environment and policy clarity was. Trade deal between India and the U.S. was cause of worry for the past seven to eight months, and now signing of India-U.S. agreement has helped bring clarity on the tariff situation. We are also happy that EU and India have signed the trade deal last month. Further, we are all aware that U.K. and India also have agreed for a trade deal. This scenario is very positive for the textile industry. The clarification on the India-U.S. agreement has removed the uncertainty we saw in the recent months. At the same time, Sri Lanka remains useful for programs where duty-free access to the U.K. and EU market provides an advantage, especially with the U.K.-India FTA still about less than a year away. The India-U.S. pact, which brings tariffs down to 18%, strengthens our competitiveness and opens access to $118 billion U.S. textile import market. While the U.S.-Bangladesh zero-duty provisions for garments using U.S. origin cotton is something we are monitoring. In Europe, the India-EU FTA eliminating up to 12% import duties has improved buyer sentiment. Overall, our presence in both India and Sri Lanka gives us the flexibility to navigate these shifts and service customers efficiently. On the demand side, we are seeing healthy re-engagement from American buyers who had earlier prepared for a Sri Lanka shift. Many of them now prefer continuity in India under the revised tariff clarity. At the same time, our ability to serve U.K.-EU orders from Sri Lanka gives us flexibility on the landed cost and the lead time. We have active dialogue with existing customers on expanding product lines, and we are onboarding new programs aligned to our quality, compliance, and delivery side. Our garmenting division continues to be the backbone of SP Apparel. In India, the utilization for Q3 FY26 declined largely on account of addition of new machines and impact of U.S. tariffs. However, we believe the utilization to improve in next financial year. We also onboarded four to five new buyers during the year, which has strengthened our presence in these key markets. The temporary pause with our U.S. customer which we saw in Q3 due to the US tariff situation has now eased after the signing of the India-US agreement, and customers have started working on new orders placements with a clear normalization in booking patterns. In Sri Lanka, we made further progress by integrating one more additional factory in this space, taking total operational capacity to approximately 1,650 machines. Stabilization efforts across production, HR and the financial systems are progressing well, supported by the phased rollout of our homemade ERP platform. We expect operations in Sri Lanka to reach normalized levels from Q1 FY27 with meaningful shipments and optimum utilization in Q2 FY27. During the year, by acquiring the factories, we have also added new customers from Sri Lanka. Orders from these customers begin in Q1 and we expect steady contribution from Q2 onwards. Enfran Apparels, being predominantly US focused, saw little pressure in Q3 because of the earlier tariff uncertainty. Q4 will have more pressure in the revenue. Despite this, the division maintained healthy operation margins. With the tariff situation now resolved, customer engagement has picked up sharply and order visibility for the upcoming seasons is strong. We have resumed the Salem expansion that was temporarily paused, and the Enfran is scaling towards 1,700 installed machines. With a phased utilization ramp to around 1,500 machines. We are also onboarding one or two new UK European customers, which will help diversify the customer mix and reduce over-reliance on the US market. Enfran is also geared up to produce bras for the domestic market as a diversification of the product. Overall, Enfran is well positioned to deliver strong growth as demand normalizes. Our multi-country manufacturing model is at the heart of our strategy. The clarity in the US, duty-free access from Sri Lanka to the UK, and the ability to command EU-UK program between India and Sri Lanka provide us with resilience as well as agility. With tariff uncertainty withdrawing, the Enfran expansion is back on track, and the Sri Lanka platform will operate at a normalized from Q1 next year, with customer shipments ramping from Q2. We will continue sharing utilization metrics and performance KPIs. With regard to SP Apparel in the UK, we remain very optimistic on SP UK. We are targeting a significant growth in the business over the next two financial years, with a revenue goal of about US$20 million, that is approximately 200 crores as customer additions and design-led engagement scale up. SP UK's ability to source between India and Sri Lanka depending on landed cost is a distinct advantage, and we expect this to contribute to improved profitability as the base expands. The order book status division-wise are: SPAL is 353 crores, Enfran Apparel is 87 crores, SP UK is 30 crores. With regard to retail, our retail division remains EBITDA positive and added another anchor store recently. Procreant continues to perform steadily with disciplined inventory, and Angel and Rocket is gaining traction as we sharpen products, omni-channel and consumer engagement. The cleanup of underperforming channels, cost discipline and tighter merchandising have strengthened its fundamentals, and we expect sustained profitability. On ESG front, we are progressing well on our sustainability commitments by planning for addition of approximately 3 megawatts of rooftop solar capacity across 3 additional units for the next financial year 26-27, taking total installed capacity on in-house solar facility to 4 megawatts. On the new labor code, we are already aligned with the most requirements and we do not expect any material operational impact on the financial. And once the gazette notification comes through, we will align with the rules as and when cleared. We are maintaining our revenue guidance of 2000 crores by FY27 on consolidated basis. Q3 was softer for the sector, but Q4 also will be softer because of the US tariff issue. And we see a stronger outlook from next financial year onward as policy clarity translates into steady order inflows. Our order pipeline and the customer additions in Sri Lanka combined with the resumption of young brand expansion and scaling up of SP UK support this trajectory. We will continue to prioritize quality growth, disciplined execution and return. To summarize, the signing of the India-US agreement has restored visibility for customers who were in wait and watch mode. We expect production to continue in India for those programs, while Sri Lanka provides flexibility for UK and EU opportunities. Our diversified footprint, integrated capabilities and a strong compliance culture position us well to capture incremental share as global sourcing recalibrates. With that, I will now hand the call over to Mr. Balaji, our CFO, to take you through the financial highlights for the quarter and 9 months. Balaji, over to you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll just take you through the financial performance of the company for the Q3 and the 9 months ended. Standalone performance for Q3, adjusted revenue stood at 258 crores, a growth of 10.9% year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA stood at 40.4 crores with an EBITDA margin of 15.6%. Profit after tax during the current quarter stood at 19.3 crores against 18 crores of Q3 FY25, a growth of 7.2% year-on-year. On a standalone basis for 9 months ended December 2025, adjusted revenue grew by 20.8 crores and stood at 851 crores. Adjusted EBITDA stood at 138 crores with an EBITDA margin of 16.3%. Profit after tax during 9 months stood at 66.4 as against 58.8 crores, a growth of 13% year on year. On a consolidated basis, revenue from operations in Q3 stood at 382 crores, a growth of 6.6% year on year. EBITDA grew by 11.2% year-on-year to Rs. 56.6 crores with an EBITDA margin of 14.8%. Profit after tax stood at 27 crores as against 24 crores, a growth of 9.1% year-on-year. On a nine-month basis, revenue from operations stood at 1,213 crores as against 995 crores, a strong growth of 21.9% year-on-year. EBITDA during 9 months stood at 29.7% growth year-on-year, which stood at 173 crores, with a margin of 14.3%. Profit after tax stood at 82.4 crores against 64.7 crores, a growth of 27% year-on-year. On a segment-wise performance, Garment Division Q3 FY26 adjusted operational revenue stood at 343 crores, a growth of 7.6% year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA during the quarter stood at 58.3 crores, a growth of 7.6% year-on-year. 9 months ended, adjusted operational revenue grew by 16.7% year-on-year to 1,105 crores. Adjusted EBITDA stood at 179 crores, a growth of 16.3% year-on-year. SP UK Q3 revenue stood at 19.2 crores with a positive EBITDA of 0.8 crores. Retail division Q3 FY26 revenue stood at 17.2 crores with a positive EBITDA of 0.8 crores against a loss of 0.6 crores Q3 FY25. Further, in the retail division, Crocodile brand revenue stood at 14.5 crores and Angel & Rocket revenue stood at 3 crores for the current quarter. Our current debt position on a standalone basis, gross debt stood at 275 crores and our net debt is 227 crores. With all this information and all the other information that are present in the presentation, we will move to the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use a headset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Bharat Gulati, Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions. My first question, sir, would be regarding any change in our FY27 guidance, given that the tariffs have been revised and we would see higher utilization levels in our YBAL business. Would there be any revision in guidance?
On the guidance, I guess in the chairman's speech, he has assured that our guidance on the revenue front stands at 2,000 crores for FY27 on a consolidated basis.
Got it. The past guidance that we've given on margins of about 15% consolidated margins on the EBITDA front, would we see a change in that going forward with operating leverage kicking in due to the higher utilization levels in our YBAL and our Sri Lanka business?
No. Currently, we would like to stick to the guidance of 15% at the EBITDA level on the garmenting division.
Okay, sir. Sir, if I just look at our EBITDA margins in terms of ex of YBAL, it's seen kind of a degrowth in this 9 months as well as in this quarter. Would there be any specific call-out or is tariffs the only reason for that to happen?
If you look at last year versus this year, our wages have gone up from March 2025. Our minimum wages have changed. Because of the tariff, there has been couple of factories that has been closed down because of. Purely because of tariff and the wages increase, there is an impact on the margin front.
It would be fair to say that our garment division ex of YBAL should touch that 18% EBITDA mark again next year.
Yeah, definitely. I feel that. See, on the garmenting division, you have the Sri Lanka business sales also. While we give guidance on garmenting division, Sri Lanka business is also part of the garmenting division. Naturally, Sri Lanka business will give you only 10% margin. Literally, when you add up both together, including the Sri Lanka business, we are looking at 15% margin in the garmenting division going forward.
Got it. Got it, sir. Just so to understand in terms of realization, there's been a trend of about degrowth that's been seen in the past three quarters, about roughly 3% degrowth in our realization. Is this going to continue going forward or will we see an uptick in realizations as the product mix changes towards the adult wear?
It's purely on the product mix. Like, when you do a lot of children products like the baby bodysuits and the sleep suits, the realization tend to come down. It's purely the product mix only.
Q4 will be under pressure for the margin, and Q1 onwards we will normalize it. Q2 will be the stabilization. Q2 27.
Got it. Sir, just to understand, just our realizations, will they be continuing in this downward trend or is this a new base for us for realizations or can we see them go back to that 140 kind of average realization levels?
The realization is to do with the product mix only. It's got nothing to do with the margins.
We expect this either maintain or move up little bit, because you know we are planning to bring in more of adult orders also, so which will bring up the average price, hoping, because we need to fill up the capacities by bringing in adult orders.
Right. Fair enough. And just one last question I wanted to understand. In terms of a capacity in terms of the what we mentioned in our PPT, the volumes that we've exported and the realization, when I do the math on that, I don't see us achieving the revenues in our garment business. So what exactly is the exports, the 18.2 million exports in this quarter that's been done? Which business is that exactly talking towards?
That's purely on the garmenting division, which is present in the standalone. So if you look at standalone numbers, it will get reflected there.
All right. So that's standalone, and then our YBA. So it excludes basically our YBAL business and our Sri Lanka operations.
YBA and retail UK all needs to be excluded.
So you didn't get that. Sorry. Can you repeat yourself, sir?
Sorry?
I couldn't hear you, sir. Sorry. Your voice cracked a little bit.
So, on the garmenting division, which is segmental reported in the presentation, it is inclusive of the export and the YBA put together. So, you exclude YBA in the garmenting division, you will find the numbers.
So, that number would be for purely our standalone India exports. Wouldn't include Sri Lanka, right, sir?
Right.
Got it, sir. Got it. Very helpful, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhankar Gupta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, sir.
So the first question is with regards to the labor code changes. So as per what I could see from the presentation and the numbers, the 27 crore consolidated PAT does not include the labor code changes impact. Is that correct? And if that is so, then can we get a number as to what would that impact be like?
No, see, in the chairman's speech, there is no material impact because of the labor code. See, the labor code was supposed to be introduced in the year 2020 itself. So we have aligned ourselves with the labor code in the year 2020 itself. So there will be no big material changes or impact in the financials because of the new labor code.
Okay, so we are saying that we had already increased the salary of all our labor force about 15%.
Yeah.
So that should not be current, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that should not have any impact. Fair enough. Second question, sir. So it's more broad. So second question is around, so there has been so many trade deals which have happened, right? But then there are two major ones, which is one is US and one is UK. So what is our take on the timeline with regard to the same? And are we doing anything extra to gain from these big trade deals which have happened?
Can you come again, please?
So basically my question is, there have been major trade deals which have happened in the last 6-7 months, out of which two are major, US and UK. What's our take on the timelines with regard to the same? Like, how will it start impacting SP's numbers? And are we doing anything extra to gain more market from these trade deals?
See, actually speaking, it will take another one more quarter to come back to normal. And because all the customers have been with us now, and they were waiting for this tariff to be revised, so now they have already press the button to resume the normal business inquiries and the placing the orders that has already started. Mm-hmm. And so all these things will reflect from Q2 numbers. And we are also adding some new customers, about 4 to 5 more new customers, maybe 2 from the US and another 2-3 from the Europe and the UK. So everything will reflect from Q2 onwards, and the Q4 is going to be under pressure for financial numbers. Q1 is going to slowly improve, and Q2 will be the restoration of the original situation.
Got it, sir. And like, what would be the clarity on the timelines with regard to both US and UK deal? Like, will we see any goodness in calendar year 2027 with regards to U.K. or U.S., according to you?
So, see, with respect to guidance, we have included that the trade deal will be considered, and we will have a U.S. business restart. So the guidance has been given with the 2,000 crore top line is based on the trade deal only. So-
Sorry, Captain Balaji.
It is based on the U.S., but I don't think we've taken into account the U.K. FTA in the guidance. So we've taken, considered the U.S. agreement, but not the U.K. yet.
No, U.K. agreement is still not through.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we are working on, you know, based on filling our capacities. So whatever, you know, the business what we are getting, that will be enough to fill our capacity, which will fetch this kind of volume. We are, you know, the guideline is 2,000 crore. Considering all the situation, U.S. and Europe as well as the U.K., that's the situation now.
Okay. Okay, got it, sir. I think that is helpful. That is helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from ENAM Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, congratulations on a very good set of numbers in difficult environment and strong commentary also on FY 2027. Plus a very good detailed presentation. It includes every division's data. Just from your opening remarks, sir, you indicated a weak quarter four. Why is that when quarter three has been decent, has been growing and the margin is there? So anything specific where you're saying the recovery would happen from quarter one or quarter two, and why not from quarter-
Yeah, the customers, American customers have, you know, slowed down their order placing. And in fact, in Q4 shipments, we have agreed to continue all of a sudden, neither we can stop their production or shipments, nor the customer can completely exit from India and place it, other, move to other countries. So we both mutually agreed to give some kind of a discount to them to maintain the continuity. So definitely, that kind of the orders are under production in Q4. And Q1 2027, they were not prepared for placing orders because they already decided to move the business from India. In the meantime, since this, the tariffs reversal has happened, so now they are now geared up to place the order. So in the meantime, we have lost some kind of order placement during the Q1 shipments. So that is the, that's the transition quarter. So even now, if they stop placing, the shipment will start from Q2.
Yeah. So basically, you're saying you accepted less orders since initially the tariff was there, so some top line and margin could be impacted. But 25% margin has been taken off, so that hit won't come to the EBITDA margin in quarter four, right?
So, yeah. In Yeah.
Both in terms of revenue and also on the bottom line, there have been couple of orders which we have neglected because of huge deep discounts that the customers are asking for.
Yeah, I can... Sorry, Balaji, I can explain.
Yeah.
So, hi, good afternoon, this is Chandran. So from a U.S. perspective on Yum! Brands, where we had given discounts and the customers were holding back on some of the orders for Q4, knowing that the tariff reversal will happen. So it has been a bit slow for this quarter. And Q1 onwards, now they're pushing the orders back again. So we will have a bit of impact because of them holding to place the orders, because they were unsure about how it was going to move. But Q1 onwards, we will see the growth and the improvement in terms of the numbers. Q4 will be a little-
Understood. Because I understand used to be only 10%-11% of your overall turnover, right?
On the Yum! Brand, it's almost 85% of the turnover. So collectively, if we have consolidated, it should be 25%. Balaji, correct me if I'm wrong.
Madam-
The U.S. contribution on the entire business?
You are saying 40%.
No, Yum Brands 85%.
Sorry?
Oh, yeah.
Yum Brands and SP Apparels put together, our U.S. exposure is less than 25%, so it should be roughly around 23%-25%.
23%-25%. Okay, okay. So that some part of the business could have got impacted in last quarter, but it would recover going forward.
Q1, we are expecting the recovery to happen, and post Q1, I guess Q2 will be the optimum time where you'll find all the orders reinstated and then kicking off from there on.
Okay. So Yum Brands, you have reported an EBITDA margin of almost 22%. Quarter two, it was 15%, so it has improved substantially. Probably you're saying because the U.S. part is much more, quarter four, it could be less, but it will remain, since the tariff has been taken off, again, next year, it would remain upwards of 20% as things normalize.
Sir, I am again telling you, our guidance is garmenting division. We are guiding for 15% EBITDA margin, including Yum Brands, SP Apparels, and the Sri Lanka business. All put together, we are guiding for 15%.
Okay. The mix could be different, but overall, blended basis, you are confident on?
Yes. It may vary from quarter to quarter, but on a consolidated basis, it will have, the garmenting division will have 15%.
Sure, sure, sure. And sir, next year, since Sri Lanka major capacity would start by the year-end, so in terms of utilization, normally ramp-up takes how much time, and when can we achieve, say, optimum 80%-90% on the Sri Lanka facility? Normally, it would be second year, third year?
Yeah, actually, we have four factories. Out of that, for three factories, we can ramp up the capacity from Q3. From Q3, as per our plan, it will be around 100% utilization. And for one of the factories, yeah, 2026. 100% utilization for three factories, and one factory, it will take another 6 months' time.
Great, sir. Thank you, and best of luck. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, can you just spend some time on highlighting, will we gain market share in EU after EU FTA, against, say, Bangladesh, Vietnam, China, et cetera? And how does that market looks, and how are we taking efforts to seed that market with new accounts, new customers, and new SKUs? Thank you.
For the American business, you're talking about, right?
For Europe, after EU FTA.
After EU FTA. So EU, yes, you know, definitely because of this trade deal agreement for FTA, definitely the India is the most preferred country for all, in all the Europeans and the U.K. customers, which we are already, you know, seeing the benefits by, you know, the new customers are coming in, and we are talking about the capacities for new businesses and so. Everything is very, very positive. And the focus, because Bangladesh is something, you know, the, what we hear from the market of the brand, they would like, if not reduce the business in Bangladesh, at least they will not place more orders in Bangladesh, so as a part of risk mitigation. So those additional business and some of the businesses, if they want to reduce from Bangladesh, will come to India only. And it is up to us whether, you know, when it comes to us, you know, we are treating Sri Lanka and India as, you know, as a one part. So we will decide how much we will produce in Sri Lanka, how much we produce in India. So we look at the India, Sri Lanka as one part in front of our retail customers.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We move on to the next question. That is from the line of Yash Bajaj from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, this quarter, what would be the number of machines across India standalone, Sri Lanka, and Yum! Brands?
So in terms of machine utilization, we were closely around 4,200 machines in India and 280 machines in Sri Lanka and 1,100 machines in Yum! Brands utilization.
And the installed, have we added any machines this quarter?
This quarter we have added 700 machines. We don't want to give all the machine details in the presentation, purely because of the strategy of the company. We don't want to provide any other data in the presentation. So we have not shared any data there.
Sure.
This year we added 700 machines.
Okay, got it. And we had kind of held back our plans in terms of adding machines in the Yum! Brands business because of the US tariff issue. Now that the tariff issue, we have gotten some clarity regarding that. So are we back on, adding the planned machine addition, which you were thinking of in FY27 as well?
Yes. Yeah, so I think as we said in the initial opening remarks, there is plans to expand or restart that project in Salem with for Yum! Brands in terms of expansion. For this, the coming financial year, it would be around 150 machines effective running, but that can scale up to 350 machines by the end of the next financial year.
Okay, got it. And my second question is on the Sri Lanka business. Last quarter, we had highlighted that we would achieve close to 50 crores of business this year. So are we on track this year for Sri Lanka business to achieve that number?
For the first 9 months, we have done 37 crores on the Sri Lanka business. And we expect to go up to 50 crores this financial year.
Okay. Okay, got it. And my third question is on the Yum! Brands business. We have witnessed a very good gross margin expansion this quarter. Considering that, there was US tariff issue and all that, you would expect that the gross margins could have impacted. So any reason how we have had such a healthy gross margin expansion of 300 basis points?
So I can explain, Malaji?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So in terms of the gross margin, if you look at the current quarter, last quarter was because we have agreed to certain discounts, this quarter we have passed on the certain discounts to the customer and supplier. So there are improved margins, and moreover, the customers have requested for a discount which we have given earlier to be passed on to the supplier. So that is why the margins is a little better this year, this quarter. So we expect the margins with respect to YVA at an EBITDA margin of 15% to 18%. Quarter to quarter it may vary, but yearly we expect it to be around 15% to 18%.
And do you want to say anything?
Yeah, pretty much on that. With a lot, not every all the discounts brought through the customers happened in Q3. A lot of those will be in Q4.
Q4.
So Q3 had only November, December effectively in terms of the impact of discounts. And as Mr. Balaji said, those were passed on to the raw material suppliers as well. So we had better raw material prices. And I think there was a bit of rupee depreciation helped to an extent as well.
Okay, understood. And my last and final question is on the SPUG business, SPUK business. Which we are planning in the next 2 years. In your initial commentary, you mentioned that we'll be planning to reach
200 crores kind of business in that. So can you help us understand what is leading to this kind of, you know, optimism for kind of generating that kind of business in that segment? And
Yes.
At that margin, at that scale, what kind of margin and working capital requirement would be there?
Yes. Regarding SPUK, the current growth expected, you know, as per the guidance is because we are definitely the existing customers, they're observing our business model moving from, as I used to say before, from Leicester to London, and setting up entirely the new team with designers and everything. So the customers are waiting to watch and see how we have settled down in the U.K. And the last few quarters we have performed, and our prices are acceptable, product development, design support, everything, and they are extremely happy. So now they have told our team in the U.K., said that, "Yes, now we can do most of our departments. We are consolidating our suppliers, and you are in the top four of our vendor list." So they have given a guidance of, you know, this is the kind of volume. Say, one customer is giving about 80 crores, and another one is another about 80 crores, and we are adding another one or two more new customers. So putting all together, the major business comes from the existing customers, so which means it should happen. There should not be. There is no reason why it cannot happen. And then with regard to the margin, you know, it's a trading model, so the fixed expenses are there. So we are working towards achieving 4%.
At the EBITDA level.
At the EBITDA level.
Got it. And the working capital required for this could be?
It's a trading business. The working capital should not be the big requirement. As such, we take from suppliers, 45 days credit to 60 days with certain suppliers, and it will be a requirement of 1 month turnover only for
Okay.
As working capital. So it's a high ROCE business.
Joel, you have anything to say? You are there? Okay.
Got it. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on strong set of numbers. I just wanted to understand, on your machine addition plans, are we on track of the numbers that you've guided in the past to add machines?
See, with respect to number of machines to be added in this financial year, we have guided for 1,000 machines, and we have already added 700. But because of this U.S. tariff, we have slowed down, and even we have closed down a couple of factories which we have started. So currently, we look at maybe two quarters, there could be an extension of the addition of machines, but I guess we are on track.
But the position what Chairman yeah has given to you, it is based on the existing available machines. So if so there won't be any increase of machines required for this year.
Okay. And for FY 2027 and 2028, given there is some more clarity on trade deals and stuff coming in, so can we see that also going as per track, as discussed earlier?
Prerna, it's hardly 15 days since the trade deal has happened, and so many things. Every day there is a new update on certain things. Today, our Commerce Minister has said that even India will get a 0% trade, I mean, duty.
Similar to Bangladesh.
Similar to Bangladesh on cotton bought from U.S. So 2027, 2028, I guess that will be very tough to look at. But we have been adding machines, and we still have good amount of headroom to improve our utilization level, even though when the trade deals happen.
Sir, I appreciate that. Thank you. This is last
year. Anyway, the machine, the existing setup, there is no plan for new projects or new acquisitions.
Okay. And sir, what about Sri Lanka? Are we planning? You mentioned about one more factory to be added. So where should we reach in Sri Lanka? Because there we have tariff. There is no tariff.
Madam said we have already added four factories. So now we are at close to 1,650 machines of in Sri Lanka. So
there room for 2,000 machines.
I think by March we will have this 1,650 machines, and we can add more machines in the same factories. So the adding machines will be an issue. So
okay.
We are in line with whatever guidance that we have given for FY27.
Oh, that's fantastic. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavika Jain from Niveshaya Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sir, I want a bit understanding on the tariff duty. So basically, as per my understanding, like we have 18% reciprocal tariff. So do we have to pay like in total 30% or is it going to be the total 18%? And along with this, I also want to know, like there was a threshold of 20%, like there is a relief from US. Initially, where if we have a U.S. origin material somewhere about 20%, then we get some relief on the tariff duty. So just want to understand if we, like SP Apparel, were enjoying that relief by using U.S. cotton, or like if you can give me understanding on that. And the second question I have related to the recent Bangladesh deal on the U.S. import. So, sir, just want to understand, because as now we are having the tariff advantage, and also we export to U.S. also. So are we planning to use the U.S. because the talk which are going on about the the same clause which India will get. So are we looking to take advantage of that, or just want to understand the Indian cotton market scenario?
First of all, you know, this U.S. cotton, using U.S. cotton is for zero tariff, it is a deal for, you know, but it is not attractive. Why? Because the American cottons are much more expensive, and when it landed, no, it will be at par with the duty paid the other Indian cotton or something. So there is no big difference unless and until that any customers from the US insist for American cotton. There is no big advantage. We don't see any big advantage. So even if it comes to India, India is anyway, is, you know, we are strong in the cotton, and I don't think we will look at the American cotton unless the customers ask for it. And there will not be any cost to benefit.
On your first question, I guess this 18% is a reciprocal tariff. So already there is a duty which the retailers are paying. And over and above that is a reciprocal tariff. So this reciprocal tariff is 12% plus this 18% will put together 30% duty on in the Indian imports. So that's the kind of impact that the customers and supplier retailers will have.
And so follow-up question on the Bangladesh. So as per my understanding, the Europe-Bangladesh deal, which is going to end because they are now in the developing country status, Bangladesh. So what you see, like, do you see having any advantage from that side in terms of like customer acquisition from like Europe, from because Bangladesh losing the customers from that because of the deal going to end?
So, as I told you, in Bangladesh, article I read today is that, you know, it says that American cotton is so expensive, This is what I told you before. So even if they import that American cotton and re-export it, the landed cost is going to be the same, unless otherwise any customer from America is insisting for using American cotton. Otherwise, I don't think Bangladesh will, you know, opt for this American one. There are so many things. They have to buy bulk and keep the stock, whether they can get this from China or India in a short period, you know, so flexible.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. My question is related to the Europe and Bangladesh deal. The deal they have right now of duty free is going to end. So on that thing, I want your understanding. The Europe
going to be
Bangladesh.
Then it will be, we will be at par with Bangladesh as well as Sri Lanka, like other countries. And we will be better placed as against Bangladesh. So we expect, the country expects more business coming from EU and UK.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much, sir.
I think your question, sorry, I think I have not clear your question answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order that the management is able to address all the questions in the queue, you are requested to limit yourself for one or a two question as per the participants. The next question is from the line of Rupesh Tatya from Long Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. So first, the question, sir, is on the parent business, right? Standalone business. How are we looking at the U.S. growth now that all the uncertainty is gone? Can U.S. become, you know, it's fairly large market, so can it become, you know, 20-30% of our revenue in 2-3 years? So that is question number one. And second question, sir, is again on standalone business only, is our fixed asset turns, I find a little bit on a lower side. So maybe if you can explain why are they low and how can we improve the fixed asset turns? Because margin we are guiding 15-16%, I mean, and not like 20%. So at least then I was hoping that the asset turns will go up. So these are the two questions, sir.
Yeah, I'll answer to question number one. Regarding U.S. market, yes, there has been a dip in Q4 and Q1 also. The existing customer, they started looking at India and will be maintaining the same percentage of 15-17%. And we are adding one more customer in U.S. So if we consider that also, the U.S. business will increase to 20+ for the year 26-27.
With respect to your question on the fixed asset turn, like so SP Apparel is a backward integrated, so like we have the investment gone into our two spinning plants, dyeing plant is not reflecting in the margins because of the cotton prices, its movement, but I guess once the spinning, the U.S. business revives, I think the yarn realization will be up, and we should see the margins going up. For FY 26-27, we estimate only 15% is purely because of the impact of the U.S. coming late in the second half. So once the U.S. business revives, our spinning plant and the dyeing plant will be fully utilized, and they will also be yielding more margins, which will improve the margins on a standalone basis.
That's helpful, sir. Just one follow-up on the first question. My question is a little bit broader in the sense that, I mean, you have two customers, you're adding one customer, but given the landscape now, I mean, why can we not add, let's say, 10 customers in the next 2-3 years? It's a little bit broader question.
So you need to be clear. I guess the question is not clear.
I mean, why are we, why are we a little bit cautious on the U.S. growth given now the trade deal and, you know, competitive advantage against China and some of these other things, why are we still, slightly cautious on the U.S. growth?
Currently, our contribution is quite very low with U.S., and we are improving on the U.S. So we are moving from 10%-20% in the standalone business, and we are also reducing the contribution of U.S. in Yum brand by adding two more U.K.-based customers. So we are now looking at a balanced customer base. Next year, we may have 20%. Next year, we may increase it by another 5%. So we would stick to a balanced approach of U.S., U.K., and Europe. That will be our strategy.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and congratulations. Sir, my question is related to, the Sri Lanka. How do we are looking, beyond, 27? Hello?
Beyond 27. Beyond 27. See, it looks very prospective and very potential, Sri Lanka. We have been very confident the way the things are happening in Sri Lanka because the labor force is available and the efficiency skill is good, and it's EU duty-free and U.K. duty-free. And it's not too far from our place, from Tamil Nadu. So we don't see any. We treat this as one of our other Tamil Nadu factories, like an extended factories of Tamil Nadu. That's how we see it. And their way of working is very much compatible to our way of working, and they are open to change to our way of working. And customers also are not hesitating or reluctant to give more businesses into Sri Lanka. So what they say, the customers say, "SPFL, either you do in India or Sri Lanka, it's one and the same for them." And the capacity, there are good possibilities of increasing the capacity in the four factories what we have acquired. So we can increase another about 500 machines over a period of two, three years' time. So it's not an issue. We look at it as a very potential one and a great future.
My second question, are we looking at different products than the existing product range? Like Sri Lanka has a much better, capability in lingerie. So are we really evaluating, or we have already started manufacturing that?
It's not that we have just started manufacturing, but we are looking at the special product. Even we are focusing on woven in Sri Lanka also. We are approaching customers to increase the woven business.
And not only that, there is more flexible Sri Lanka because they're all multi-skilled. They can handle all kinds of fabrics, woven or polyester or modal or cotton and styles, ladies, fashion, or undergarments or babies. So they are so versatile, those factories are all the factories in Sri Lanka. And not only that, now that the U.K. has given U.K. and also EU, I think, they have given one more scheme is that they import fabrics from anywhere in the world, and they are getting duty-free into EU and the U.K. Previously, if it is from China, they used to impose 12% duty. Now they have removed everything. They can source import from any country, and they re-export it. It's duty-free, which is a big advantage where we can get some styles, some orders of China-based fabrics also.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir, and wishing you very.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Dey from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you are audible.
Ma'am, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yes, you are very much audible.
Since there is no response, we'll take the next question. The next question is from the line of Anant, Mount Infra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
I just have a small question. I'm sorry if I didn't know this before. I have a question regarding the share of loss from an associate company. Which associate company would this be? Because this is just coming in FY26. So is this in I think Sri Lanka and SP UK and SP Retail have been consolidated. So I'm just trying to understand which associate company would this be?
So with respect to associate company, you're right, it is Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka operations comes under the associate company. But on the UK and retail, it's all in the consolidated revenue. So associate company is purely under operations from the Sri Lankan company.
So can you explain your setting in Sri Lanka? Like, are you outright purchasing companies, or are you partnering with companies or factories in Sri Lanka?
So in the associate country, in Sri Lanka, the foreign companies are not allowed to own the land. So what we have done is that we started an associate company and we have extended loan to that associate company for the purpose of buying all the assets in that associate company. So in the related party transaction, we will see an ECB extended from SP Apparels to the associate company.
And this associate company would be headquartered in Sri Lanka or would have origins in Sri Lanka?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the Bharat Gulati from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead. Mr. Bharat Gulati?
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. Apologies. Just trying to understand that our current capacities that we have available for operation in India, it's at about 4,200 machines. So I'm a little confused. Our presentation talks about close to 5,000 machines as of FY25, but currently 4,200, plus we've added 700 machines. So has there been a shutdown of a lot of machines?
So 4,200 machines is the utilization, and every factory has got some unutilized machines. And moreover, when we spoke in the beginning, we have closed down a couple of factories due to the US tariff issue.
Which factories are mainly planned for US orders?
Got it. So sir, just would it be able to quantify how many machines are there today available to us in our respected geographies that you are guiding for the 2,000 crores of top line? So how many machines are there operational for that guidance to be achieved?
Operational mission detail, I guess you can reach out to our IR and collect data.
Sure. Just one last question, sir. So if I just do a kind of a reverse calculation of our India utilization and the volume shipped for the quarter, I arrive at about 103 million pieces for the entire year. So would that be fair that we have a current capacity of 103 million pieces to be available to be shipped from India currently?
So we usually don't go by the number of pieces that we produce, because if you produce children garments, it will be different. If you do fashion design products, it will be different. So it differs. So we don't go by number of pieces. Roughly around our capacity, we should be doing roughly around
5,000 crores for 4,000 crores, right?
5,000.
If it is 5,000 machines, then we
will be 700.
If we run the full capacity of 5,000 machines, we will be doing close to 1,200 crores.
of exports alone.
Exports alone.
Exports alone.
Got it. So 1,200 crores of exports would be from the 95% kind of utilization that we plan to achieve next year in our current capacity.
Right, right.
Got it, got it. And young brands, sir, if you can just give a broad understanding of what, will we see a growing trend take place in young brands next year in terms of revenue top line, or will it be flattish? Like, how do we look at that?
So, yeah, with respect,
yes. Yes. Hi. So, with regards to young brand, for next financial year, there will be a growth. Again, as we've guided, normally between 15 to 20%. So, definitely that kind of a growth will be there. But to have the full impact of the growth will come the next financial year with the Salem project fully running. But there will be better utilization, and we are adding, as we said, they're adding customers as well, even UK customers to young brand. So there will be a growth compared to this year.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. So just to get a broad understanding that there would be no capex for next year going forward. We would be doing all this capex for Salem and for India closing this financial year, right?
Yes.
With respect to capex, I guess we are planning to have some maintenance capex, which will be roughly around 10 to 15 crores every year. And we are, as a part of sustainability, we will be investing into the solar, which Chairman has given in the beginning of his speech. That could be costing us another 10 crores. And roughly around expansion could be reinstating whatever in Embrand we spoke about the Valapadi plant project could cost us another 5 crores. So roughly around 20 crores we expect, I'm sorry, 30 crores for capex next financial year.
Got it, got it. So no major expansion capex. Got it, sir. Yeah. Thank you so much.
No major expansion.
Got it. So thank you for the follow-up, sir. Appreciate it. I'll reach out to you offline for the follow, for the further queries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, this will be the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, all the participants, and I'd like to thank everyone for showing interest in this company, and I hope we were able to answer to all the questions up to your expectation, and we still expect your support as you have been all the time, and we still stay confident about our growth plan and growth path, and we seem to be having a very strong plan, and thank you once again for having confidence in this company. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Elara Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.